Thank you, Brother Rick.
Thank you very much. Take your Bibles today and turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Wonderful portion of Scripture. I am amazed how much God cares for me. And I'm amazed how God cares for us. Many times in our lives we go through life pretty fast. Seem like either on two wheels on one side or two wheels on the other, amen. And seems like that there's just no slowing down. It's just fast. I can't believe that we're heading into March. And if it wasn't for leap year tomorrow. By the way, girls, you can ask anybody to marry you tomorrow. That's Sadie Hawkins Day, amen. So I just wanted to remind you that, amen. But it's amazing how fast life is and quickly. Before you know it, our evangelistic meetings with Brother Joe Mark will be here, and then our missionary missions conference, and then all of a sudden we head into camping, and then we go more camping, and then more camping, and then all of a sudden it's Thanksgiving, it's Christmas, and we're back to January 1st again, amen. Life is quick, life is fast. And so my encouragement to you is enjoy every bit of it. When you got a few minutes, get in your car and drive a little bit out of town. Get out of stinky old Great Falls and get out and blow some stink off. You go out there and then see beautiful mountains and see all the wonderful things that that God has made for us. It's an incredible thing. But God cares for us. God is on his throne, and the Bible says in the last part of chapter 6, and verse 32, if you look there, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. He had just talked about what we need to eat and what we need to drink and what we need to wear. He said, I just want you to know that Jesus said, I want you to know that your heavenly Father knows about that. He understands that you have some needs. I don't know if you are here today that have a need or not. I haven't met a person this week that didn't have a need. It just seemed like I ran into a whole bunch of people having troubles and heartaches and sorrows and didn't know which way to turn, whether to turn up or turn down. Turn up, man, we used to eat them out of the garden. But anyway, turn up or turn down, we just don't know which way to go. I just thought I'd say it again so some of you catch it, amen. God is on his throne, and I want to remind you that God remembers you. He remembers us. He remembers the trials that we must pass through. And he understands the burdens and the distresses that we have. And he never will leave us alone. He promises are true. He will not forget you. God is on his throne. If that's right, if we would and could just learn to believe on God, it would. And if we were willing to accept his providence for us, how much bitterness would be taken out of our life? If you'd go with me and you look at your Bible there and look at the last verse of 34, it says, take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. God said, I want you to know, take care of today. I'm not going to tell you what's going to happen tomorrow because there's a plenty of evil today to worry about today. Don't worry about tomorrow. In fact, he says, don't worry. I've got it taken care of. You ever had your kids worrying about something? You say, hey, I've got it taken care of. Last Christmas, a family, had bought tickets to go to Disney World. That's a great idea to spend Christmas, amen. And it seemed like that there was nothing under the tree like the years before. Years before, there also used lots of presents under the tree, and the kids were getting a little worried. You know, they had a couple kids, and they were worried about, hey, Mom. Says it's been pretty tight. Well, Dad, aren't we going to have Christmas? Well, we'll have Christmas, but it's pretty tight. And Christmas morning they got up real early. And there's no presents under the tree. But Dad said, get your clothes on. Somehow, some way, Mama and Daddy had packed all their clothes, and they handed him two tickets to Orlando, Florida for Disney World. They went crazy. But they worried. I worried almost a whole month and worried. I think that was pretty rough on the kid, eh, man? But they're worried and worried. And all of a sudden, bang, they're within 8 hours, they're in Orlando, Florida, enjoying the and basking in the sun of 80-degree weather and leaving Minnesota at 40 below, amen. If we would just accept the providence of God, our anxious care for tomorrow would be gone. Yet, I know not if, for me, the sun will even rise tomorrow. I don't have that promise. By the way, you don't have it either. That anxious care for tomorrow, it kills my faith in God. When I'm worrying about how am I going to do this, something happened at my house the other day, and I had to get a new hot water heater. I think they gold line them now, you know. And and I just had some other things going on. And I finally I said, dear God, I don't know what to do about this. And you know what? He took care of it. It's the funniest thing. I haven't missed a meal since. I'm still alive and well. It's just that when I finally realized, and that's why I wrote this sermon for myself. So if you want to listen to me, you can. I'm preaching it. That's me. Amen. That anxious care for tomorrow, God, that kills my faith in my God. Listen to me. That kills my faith in my God. I begin to live like an atheist that has no God, no Heavenly Father that careth for me. When my needs each day, my Lord supplies, anxious care for tomorrow really ruins things. So often I say to my troubled heart, why don't you just rest? Just rest upon the promise of His divine grace. He promised us His strength to meet tomorrow and all its tests. My dear godly grandmother, Shear, had a little plaque on her dining room wall that was entitled The Robin and the Sparrow. When she went to heaven, my mama put that little plaque in the bathroom. Since then, she has gone to heaven, and my little sister Marilyn left it hanging there. Every time I go into that room, I read that little plaque, and it reads, says the robin to the sparrow, I would really like to know why these anxious human beings run around and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, I do think that it must be that they have no Heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. You see, God is before me. He'll be my guide. And God is behind me. No ill can I be beside. God is beside me to comfort and to cheer. God is around me. So why should I fear? God can and will solve every problem. He can and will lift every burden. He will direct every step, and He'll heal every broken heart, and He'll cleanse every sin. Scripture says in 1 Peter chapter 7, 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You know, God cared enough to send His Son to die on the cross for me, and Jesus Christ cared enough to die on the cross for me. Why should He not take care of me? The Bible tells us to cast all our cares upon Him. In fact, Psalm 55, verse 22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Jesus spoke these familiar words to the crowd that day. He said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, taking thought, can add one cubit unto your stature? I know when I was growing up, I wanted to be at least 6 foot. My dad was 5'11", and all other family members. My grandfather was like 5'8", and my mother was 4'11", and I said, I'll never be 6 foot. On my 18th birthday, I had to go down and register for the draft, and that man sitting at that table says, you are 6 foot, 190 pounds, young man. And they put that down. I was so tickled, I could about jumped up and down and shouted cheerio, amen. I'm reminded of the story of the fellow that he was a great basketball player, but he was kind of short, and he went to the doctor and he said, doctor, I want to be taller. He said, I'll tell you what to do. I want you to take some rubber, I want you to take some bands and pull them on your hands and put them on your feet, and you have a steel bed, you know, wrought iron bed, yes, and just, and put some oil on you. And, he said, you'll grow at least 2 or 3 inches. And man, he did that for about 6 weeks. Finally came to see the doctor. He said, I don't think this is working. He said, good night. He said, you've lost an inch. He said, what happened? He said, what kind of oil are you? He says, I was using Crisco. He said, that's the problem. That's shortening. That's so sad. That is so bad. Whew. People don't even know what Crisco is today anyway. The meaning is this, that we are to commit our whole cause to Him. If we suffer heavy trials, if we lose our friends, and lose our health, lose our property, if we have an arduous and a responsible duties to perform, if we feel that we have no strength, if we are in danger of being crushed by what is laid upon us, the Bible says we are cast all our cares upon Him, for He careth for you. We are to look to Him for grace and look to Him for strength. And we can be assured that He will enable and to sustain us what He has laid upon us. The relief is the case we be as real and full and consolation as it took a burden to bear for Himself. He will enable us to bear with ease what we suppose we have never had done, and the burdens which He laid upon us, when we find out what's going on, it actually becomes a delight to us. This is what Jesus said over there in Matthew chapter 11, verse 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You look at all these different cults and isms or religious, and you see the difficulties it is for people to live up to the expectations of that, whatever their God is. It's incredible. I've seen those dear, dear people over in Nepal going through so many things of their religion. Early in the morning, they have to go out and do their puja. And they burn their incense and bring their rice and go to the temple and sacrifice. And some of the Hindus don't even know who they're worshiping. They have million gods to worship, and they're not even sure. And so if you go into Dubai Square in Kathmandu, you'll find an idol that says to the unknown God. And I'll guarantee every time I've been there, there's always more sacrifice to that than the rest of them. because they don't want to miss out. I thank the Lord Jesus Christ in His love and mercy of me that showed me when I was a 14-year-old boy there's only one way to get to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh on the Father but by Him. He said, it's not a works lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God. Can you imagine getting to heaven where everybody is given this and did that? Well, I'll tell you what, I'd be down in the basement on that one. And He said, I am the way. Be a lot of braggers in heaven if they could get there because of what they did instead of what God did. Jesus said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto Him. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Him, because he trusteth in thee. John 14, verse 27, peace. You hear that? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Matthew chapter 10, 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father. But the very hair of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. He is not like the gods worshipped by many of the pagans who were supposed to do so, execute, and so distant that did not interest themselves in human affairs. But he condenses to regard the needs, the meaning of us creatures. He is concerned about us. God Almighty is concerned. The mighty God of heaven is concerned about me. He's concerned about you. It is one of the glorious attributes of the true God that can and will thus notice the needs and of the people as well as the mighty. One of the richest of all consolations when we are afflicted. And we may be despised as this world is thought of, we are not forgotten by the Heavenly Father. He who remembered the falling sparrow and who hears the young raven when he cries, will he not be merciful to us? This is what the Bible says, yet the Lord thinketh on me. That was the consolation of David when he felt and feared. He said, I am poor and needy. Psalm 40, verse 17. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Isaiah 49:15. Can a woman forget her suckling child? That she should not have compassion on the son of her womb. Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee, God said. What more can one wish than to be permitted to feel that the great and merciful Yahweh, God, thinks of you? It's incredible. He's thinking of you today. He saw you this morning get up. He saw you this morning when you were frustrated, couldn't find the kids' socks or their shoes. He saw you this morning when you went out and forgot your keys and had to go back to the house and the door was locked. He saw you this morning when you didn't have time to feed those kids the way they should be fed on breakfast, so you threw them some fruit snacks. He saw that. He knows that. He saw you look at your watch and said, oh my goodness, I'm going to come on two wheels coming in the church because I got this and I got that. No, oh, I forgot my Sunday school lesson and I, on and on and on. Those things happen to us in our lives. Did you know there's a God in heaven that really knows about you and cares for you? What are we? What have we done that should be worthy of such love? He remembers the poor. He knows what you got in your billfold today. He knows what you got in your bank, or what you don't have in your bank. Amen. He remembers the poor, remembers the despised, the time that you're at work and you do something wrong and somebody yells at you or somebody writes you up or whatever. He knows that. He knows the afflicted child of God that you will never be forgotten by Him. Friends on earth may forget you. Those in great places don't even know you exist. The nobles, the rich may forget you. I want to remind you that God's Word, the B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. This Bible says that He will not forget you. He never will. Remember that you've never been or be entirely neglected. You may be neglected of your father, your mother, your neighbor, your friend, those whom that you have loved, those whom you have done good to them. They may neglect you, but God will never. I was in the fourth or fifth grade, and I lived out in the country, and our church every month that had five Sundays on it, the next Monday night, they would go to what they call the Midland Community Center. And it was a big deal. Dow Chemical Company and the Dow Corning Company that had their big companies there in that city put a lot of money and made a showcase center. I mean to tell you, it was like the Taj Mahal of its day. It was beautiful. And at churches could rent this whole building out for just a few dollars. And so my pastor, Pastor Lindsay, started it. It had a huge, huge Olympic-sized swimming pool in it. I mean, it was huge. I don't know how many lanes it was in it. Huge. It had a fantastic basketball court and volleyball court and all the rest of the things that go along with it. Oh, I just love going there. We'd go swimming and play in the big gym, and boy, it's a big deal. And I remember my pastor, Lindy, he always made it such good fun for us kids. Well, one Monday that we were to go, my dad had to work, and my two little sisters were too little. My big sister stayed in town with her friend to go with them, so my Aunt Mabel told me that she would pick me up with the rest of her children, my cousins. I got off my school bus, ran in the house, snarfed down some food, and ran back outside by the mailbox waiting for my Aunt Mabel. That was 4 o'clock. She was not supposed to come till 6:30. I went to our swing, and I could swing, and I could see the road, the Shear Road and Hope Road. I lived on Hope Road then, and I could swing and watch the cars, and then I'd get down, and I'd go over there and just make sure I didn't miss. And I swung in that old tree, and the sun started going down. And every time I heard a car coming, man, I just knew it was them, but I realized it wasn't. I waited and waited. The sun went down. It was getting chilly out there, and so I ran in the house to get my jacket, and I was so afraid I'd miss my aunt. It started to really get dark, and my mama called me and said, Sheldon, I think your Aunt Mabel forgot you. It was 7 o'clock. You know, she's pretty busy, son. She's a school teacher and all that. I said in my heart, I can't believe my Aunt Mabel forgot me. But she did. That may not be a big deal to you, but a big deal to this little farm boy that never got into town except about once a month. You may become poor. They may pass by you. You may lose your office. The flatter may no longer throng your path. Your beauty may fade. Your admirers may leave you. You may grow old and be infirmed. You may appear to be useless in this world, and no one seems to care for you anymore. But it is not thus with God whom you serve. When He loves you, He always loves you. If He regard you with favor when you were rich, He will not forget you when you're poor. He who watched over you with a patient care in the bloom of your youth will not cast you off when you're old and gray-headed. Ah, listen to the psalmist when he says in Psalm 71:18, now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have shown thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. If we are what we should be, we shall never be without a friend so long as there is a God. The lyrics of a song comforted missionary Darlene Ross, Darlene Rose, as she was locked up in Japanese death row cell during World War II. How important it is to bury these songs and scriptures in our heart that we can be strengthened. The song is this, all things are possible. She would sing this. She would hum this in her mind. Fear not, little flock, for the cross to the throne. For death into life He went for His own. All power in earth, all power above is given to Him for the flock of His love. Fear not, little flock. He goeth ahead. Your shepherd selecteth the path you must tread. The water of Marah, He'll sweeten for thee. He drank all the bitterness in Gethsemane. Fear not, little flock, whatever your lot. He enters all rooms, the doors being shut. He never forsakes. He is never gone. So count on His presence in darkness and dawn. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. I was reading the scripture here and it talked about that God made the lilies. And I found a song. I remember Stacy Commodore or Stacy Adams used to sing that here. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. Consider the birds of the sky, how they fly. Consider the sheep of His fold, how they follow where He leads. Though the path may wind across the mountains, He knows the meadows where they feed. Consider thy sweet, tender children who must suffer on this earth. The pain of all them He carries from day of their birth. He clothes the lilies of the field. He feeds the lambs of His fold, and He will heal those who trust Him and make their heart as gold. He clothes the lilies of the field and feeds the birds in the sky. He will feed those who trust Him and guide them with His eyes. Consider the lilies. They don't toil nor spin. But there's not a king with more splendor than them. Consider the sparrow. He doesn't plant nor sow. but he fed by the Master who watches him grow. We have a Heavenly Father above with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. He really cares with your when your head is bowed low. Consider the lily, and then you will know. May I introduce to you this Heavenly Father. His name is Jesus. And He loves you. And He has not forgotten about you. When the troubles and sorrows come, He's always there at your side. You may not see Him and you may not feel Him. But He has never left you. I may leave Him. You may leave Him. But He'll never leave us. I love the story about the 99, the sheep, and the one who went away. And the shepherd left those 99 and went after him. Went after that one sheep. I think that I'm talking to a church full of hurting people today. I think I'm talking to a church of people that has been through some pretty deep water lately. But I want to promise you, according to this old book right here, that He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Troubles and sorrows come. We know that. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. This is the only testing time right here. It won't be long and we're going to hear that trumpet sound. Won't be long and Jesus will take us home. And we'll ever be with Him. It's just right now that we sure need Him. Amen. It's right now that we got to cling to Him and say, Dear God, I know that You promised never to leave me. You may be here today and you say, Preacher, I believe that. But you know, I've never made Jesus Christ my personal Savior. There's never been a time in my life that I've said, God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. There's never been a time that you have personally invited Him to be your Savior. Christianity is not a religion of do's and don'ts. Christianity is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I pray today that you receive Christ as your Savior. I pray today that this would be the day you say, God, I've had enough of it. I'm tired of running. I accept You as my personal Savior. Forgive me of all my sins and come into my heart and be my Savior. You say, Preacher, I don't have too many troubles. Well, someday you will. Someday you will. It'll come. The Bible says this world is full of troubles and sorrows. Someday. And you need a Heavenly Father to be with you at all times. Father, I pray You'd speak to our hearts. Thank You for loving us and caring for us. Thank You for being our God who will never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, I pray if there be anyone here today not sure they're saved, not sure that today, if they died, that they'd 100% sure they'd go to heaven, I pray today that they would trust You as their Savior. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. If I were to die today, I really don't know. I don't know if I'd be in heaven or not. You know, God says, I want you to know that. God never intended man to be in the dark concerning his spiritual condition. God said, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not hope so, wish so, says shall be saved. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. That's what God said, that ye may know. Not hope so, not think so, but know. If you're here today and say, Preacher, I don't know if I die today, I go to heaven. But I'd sure like to know that today. In a moment, I'm going to ask everyone to stand to your feet. And once you're standing, I'm going to say, if you're here today and you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, I'm going to ask you to step out of that seat, walk down this aisle, take my hand and say, "Preacher, today I want salvation. I want to know for sure that I have a Heavenly Father who will never leave me nor forsake me." But the choice is yours. God gave us all a free will. You can either receive Him or you can reject Him. That's your choice. That's your choice. That's a terrible choice, but it's your choice. There's nobody in this church going to grab you by the nape of the neck and drag you down this and won't do it. Because God said it's our choice. It's your choice. Either you do or you don't. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Get everyone stand on your feet. You're here today and say, "Preacher, today I want Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I want to invite Jesus Christ to come into my heart. I want a home in heaven. I want this God who promises never to leave me nor forsake me." Why don't you come at this time and say, "Preacher, today I want that Christ. I want Jesus to be my Savior." You come right now. I'll be more than happy to show you what the Bible... I'm not here to make a Baptist out of you. I'll be honest with you. I'm not... I'm here to show you what the Bible says. That you'd have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You hear today and say, "Preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and Believer's baptism." That's down in the water, up out of the water, illustrating the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why don't you come at this time and say, "Preacher"? Maybe here today, say, "Preacher, I want to become members of this church. This is where I want to serve God at." Why don't you come at this time? Father in heaven, we come today. We ask you, precious Savior, to guide us and direct us in our thoughts and our mind. Lord, help us today. There's many hurting out there, many people that are just seem like they're out in the ocean without a compass. They have no idea what in the world's going on in their life. They're just from one storm to the next. Lord, help us to have the great pilot, Jesus Christ, to step into our boat. Help us, Lord, to trust you in each thing that we do and say. Lord, now bless us now as we go to our separate homes, place to eat. Pray, God, you'd bless us and bring us back tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.